Welcome to the Overreact podcast.
And in a society that puts women in a box,
let's overreact.
Let's overreact. I'm your host, Monica Mohoya.
It's your girl, Angela Wamboi.
And your girl, Lash Angela. Super excited to be back at the Kofisi Center, but specifically Kofisi 9, which is the media hub. It's in Westlands area in the 9 West building, a place that we recommend for content creators who are looking to record a podcast or use the green screen room to do some video work. Definitely recommend to come and check it out for yourself and sign up to use the spaces.
Yes, and talking about the space, we are right here at Kofisi. And we have one additional ovary, the most beautiful Maureen Waititu. So as you know, we are all about having the tough question, asking the tough questions, having the tough conversation. So today we are indeed putting our ovaries to work because we are about to overreact. So tell us who you are and let's get overreacting.
Thank you, Mo. Thank you, girls, Angela and Angela, for having me. I'm very, very excited. I am Maureen Waititu. You know, the first title I give myself is mommy to two boys, Lexi and Kai. I'm also a huge advocate when it comes to women empowerment and mental health. I am a content creator, a big influencer, especially on Instagram and YouTube, and aspiring to get into mental health as a psychologist. Wish me luck with that. I'm working on it.
You got it.
Yes, because I feel like the calling has been bigger than me. It's been so huge such that I feel like I need to put my skills and sharpen them and get on board with it.
I love it.
Yeah.
Tell us a fun fact about yourself.
Well, fun fact. I love karate.
What?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yes, I'm actually going back. I'm a yellow belt.
Hey.
No way.
Yeah, I guess you did know that. Yes, but I might have to start from the beginning because it's been years. But yeah, it's a new love that I am about to reignite.
Oh, watch out, world.
Yeah.
Maureen Waititu yellow belt is how we're going to start referring. Funny enough, for those who can't see, obviously you can't see, she's actually wearing a dress that has yellow in it.
Yes. And my spirit sister has the same thing on. Yeah. So I guess it was a yellow, red, and pink affair.
Yes, indeed.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about the becoming of Maureen Waititu, the content creator, the Maureen who had to overcome insurmountable challenges to become who she is. The trials, the challenges that you had to overcome to become who you are and to become this Maureen that, you know, is a big sister to so many, hundreds of thousands of women and girls who follow you on your social media.
Well, that's a very good question because I ask myself the same thing every day and I'm barely in terms with who I am. Partly because I'm very, very hard on myself because I feel like there's so much more to give within myself. I'm always asking myself, am I waking up early enough? Did I get enough sleep? You know, the conflict of adulting.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But the person I am today was created out of pressure. She's a diamond. That whereby, you know, when they say where you're planted, you bloom. Anywhere you're planted, you bloom. That's me. It's not been easy, even on a personal perspective, like to grow myself. But and I've not had any help to be where I am today. I don't come from a rich family. I don't come from, places where I had a huge support system. It's been more of me, and figuring life out. I think, many years of knowing me, you're all a witness of my different transformations. So I like to think of myself as a caterpillar who is still turning into a butterfly. And that's why I think I'm so relatable, and I carry all these women, big sisters, small brothers, small big brothers. I mean, I get shocked whenever I meet like men and they're like, oh my goodness, I'm such a huge fan. And I'm like, what, you're a dude? or a woman will be like, oh, my husband, this is my husband's crush.
Can you take a selfie? Yeah. Maureen versus society.
Yes. So the love is real. In fact, it's so real, and I feel it everywhere, and that keeps me going. In terms of what has created the community I have, it's more into my authenticity. I do not present myself as this cute package with a red ribbon. I'm just a girl who struggles like any other, and I'm not afraid of showing people that you can struggle and shine at the same time. There's nothing wrong with that.
How would you... Okay, so how did you identify or... figure out, okay, this is the Maureen that is, I'm going to keep sharing, and then from that, create that community that connects with that. And how would you define like your community online, for instance?
Wow. Thank you for that. My community is very organic. It's people who we've grown together, raised my children together. So it's a very organic community with people who followed me for years, actually. Before I came to the limelight about 4 years ago, I was a very private person, and my page was barely even public. So it was more of the little community I had created that told the other one and the other one. And here we are with this community of women, especially. I think 65% of my followers are all women between the ages of 15 and 45. So it's a very clear pool of audience. They feel like online sisters to me. We pray together, we play together, we raise the kids together. When I'm fighting my battles, they fight with me, they fight for me. So it's a very organic sisterhood, if I may. And yes, I have grown into this aspect of every day I wake up and I'm intentional and ask myself, what would my sisters do out there? And so, yeah, even when I share, I'm very intentional with what I share. And my sharing is either inspiring or educative, so informative or inspiring. So intentionality is another aspect to my brand.
So I think in every situation, there's always a good and a bad side. I want you to like share with us, how have you navigated being in the limelight? Because being in the limelight, there also comes a lot of backlash.
Yeah.
And, you know, on top of that, even bullying.
Yeah.
How have you managed to go from being such a private person to now being in the public light?
Gosh, it's when I think about it, I think bullying for me, especially online bullying, because I've never met a person who tells me those things they say. Mm-hmm. In fact, if you check my page very well, you will never see any negativity. The negativity is in a different platform where people feel like they need to express themselves negatively. So the first thing I say is a lot of these people who are negative, you'll find they don't even know me. They don't know who I am. And it's not been easy because I've been forced to, there's a time I was very open and then I closed up. Like I closed myself up, and it's more like a protective layer that I put on myself. I don't know, over the last few years. So I only share what I can share and what I want to share. However, I look at these people and realize that a lot of them just project their insecurities and the struggles they are going through. And I know myself. So the other day, I saw a whole debate. Don't ask me where, but there was a debate about me and how I lead my life. And I'm like, huh? Oh, I feel sorry for these people because they don't know how hard I work. And the people who matter to me, people like you who know me, who've known me for years, are the ones that matter the most. And I'm able to, I think, plug on that and say, hey, I know exactly what I do with my life. Why should I worry about what people want to assume? You know, someone is like, how can she go for a week-long holiday? It's impossible. I'm like, which God do you worship? Do you know what? Like, there's nothing wrong with going to some exotic country for a week. And sometimes all you have to do is just to put a pin on the map and say, I'm going to show up here. How you show up, it's up to God. Yeah. You know, and sometimes maybe a boyfriend. Yeah, but you don't have to do bad things to be able to afford a certain lifestyle. You don't have to show off to prove a point. You don't have to lead a certain, you know, to live as per people's expectations of you to prove a point. So I say, hey, this is who I am. The people who matter the most to me know exactly who I am. And that's all that matters.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Your story, I'm just here reflecting and I'm thinking, you're a woman, but what I'm hearing is, you know, this lens that has been put on you, that they want to magnify to see every piece of you, even the piece that you want to put to keep for yourself.
Yes.
And you will agree with me that us as African women, so it comes with the expectation when you're growing up, you're so hippie. So you're being told as a girl, you should know yourself first. So the pressure starts earlier on. Yeah. And then when you create this niche for yourself, there are these strangers online that want to have access to your life. So what is coming out in your journey is that you have to always look out for yourself, right?
Yes.
As a woman. And it's so, you know, like who gave the society the permission to, you know, to be the police, the watchers. So let's talk about how you have navigated the online space or even in your private life, because you know they see your photos. I'm sure they, you know, they throw sexual nuances on you, either DM when they meet you. They you know, some men may feel entitled to ask you out on a date. How have you navigated that? And then we flip. I know you are very vocal when it comes to, you know, gender based violence, sexual that. So you personally, and how you've been able to be a safety net for you know, thousands of women who follow you and the circle of women around you.
All right. So in terms of basically what I'm getting is, how do I protect myself from being owned by people, both men and women? And it happens. So my social life is very different from my private life. So my private life involves, again, the people who matter, my family, my friends. And so even when I'm out and about, you find me very shielded. Probably I will choose to go out times that, you know, I won't meet a lot of people, or go to places where I won't meet these men. In fact, I remember about a week and a half ago, that's the last time I went for a walk. I was walking somewhere and I have my AirPods on, you know, blocking out the world. That's usually my time to reflect and everything, because every few minutes I'm like, I hear, hi, Maureen, or what's up? So it's nice, and it's very, very, it's honestly very, very nice to meet fans anywhere I am. But I create this pocket of protection. I'm very intentional with that. I probably go to the supermarket at 9 p.m. I still don't escape it, but you won't find me like moving out and about in spaces where I know I'm going to just meet people. So I really try to put a protective barrier. At the same time, I've been very, very, very lucky not to be in a space where I have to protect myself sexually. Maybe it happened before, when I was much younger, naive, and definitely not possessing what I have right now. So it's about how you create that space for yourself. Like I said, I would never put myself in a situation where I have to keep going like, oh my God, that person is talking to me or looking at me this way. At the same time, you can't escape. But when it happens, just be polite. There's a way you just have this barrier, invisible barrier. But they're like, okay, I can't go too near. You might not even catch me out alone. So I'll always have my girls, and maybe sometimes my kids, I can't wait for them to grow and start telling people
protectors.
Off, like, yo, so what do you want with mama? You know, what do you want with my mama? So, and honestly, I really don't like it. I miss just
being normal,
yeah. Going on two different places with different people, but I guess that's just a dream.
I think you'll get that when you travel abroad, you know.
Yes.
You kind of get that sense,
yes,
of like normalcy and,
yes,
what have you. But you said something about,
mm-hmm,
you've learned to select what times or what have you. So I always say, like, don't put yourself in rooms where it's an endanger,
yes,
to yourself. Right?
Yes.
Don't put yourself,
yes,
in situations where,
mm,
you're going to come out of it feeling a little bit more stressed.
Yeah.
There's no need to do that.
Exactly.
And once you, like, start to learn,
mm-hmm,
that about,
mm,
you, and also learn the type,
mm,
of people you end up attracting and the,
mm,
type of conversations that lead to that,
sure,
for strangers,
mm-hmm,
it makes it a bit easier.
Mm.
But going forward,
mm-hmm,
now that you have this great following, you're... How many in Instagram? What's your numbers?
I think 600,031 or thereabouts.
Isn't that crazy?
Yo.
That in a,
wow,
few numbers,
organic growth.
You'll be 1 million.
Yeah, it's
so
organic growth.
What is, because,
mm-hmm,
now you've kind of found your flow,
mm-hmm,
and it's around, you said earlier that you want to do psychology, you,
yes,
have this calling.
Yes.
What is like the sustainable plan around it? Like, what are your thoughts in how, like, if I can be this brand, I have,
mm-hmm,
this platform,
mm-hmm,
I can use this platform to,
mm-hmm,
you know, navigate certain conversations,
mm-hmm,
use this voice, and you said about mental health.
Yeah.
So, like, what's the sustainable plan? Who's,
mm-hmm,
the new Maureen that we're,
mm-hmm,
going to see,
mm-hmm,
as 2022 grows,
yes,
in the next 5 years?
Yes. Wow, that's a very good question, because I have a straightforward answer.
Okay.
And a not very straightforward answer. One is because I'm in a crossroads whereby I'm thinking, do I do this or do I do that? So I'm also, you know, with everybody, there's a cycle in life whereby you reach a point and you have to stop and refuel. So I feel like I'm refueling at the same time the car is running, and that is my life and things that are happening. But ideally, I know in another 2 years, I will definitely not be in the same space I'm at. What does that mean? I won't be taking up clients as an influencer, perhaps. I'm not saying I wouldn't, but when I do, and if I do, it will be in a very different perspective. Obviously, I'll be very grown. I'll have established my brand. I think what I have been creating has been made in the last 3-4 years. So I'm pretty new in the industry, but at the same time, I know I'm going to be very old because new influencers are being born every day. There's a new TikTok sensation, a new Instagram sensation. They're just coming like this. So definitely I want to have a practice somewhere people can come in and with order, because right now there's no order. My DMs are crazy. Someone will come and just throw something at me. And if I hadn't, if I wasn't doing therapy with my therapist, I'd have lost it by now, because I'm an empath, whereby someone will come and give me their story,
mm,
or ask for my number, and, mm, then they want to share. They just dump. And my therapist told me that's my work, send them my way.
Oh, you want to rescue,
yes,
everyone.
Exactly.
I just
want to
and
rescue everyone.
And I think
everyone,
us as women,
yes,
we kind of feel that kick. You,
yeah,
want to like be there for everyone.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how have you been practicing restraint, or how are you, you know, creating that,
yes,
boundary?
Yes. As Angela Lash said earlier, don't put yourself in situations that will expose you to, you know, this magnet of people who will be bringing in no boundaries per se. So boundary is physical, it's mental, it's emotional. It's definitely everything in terms of even what you absorb. Have you ever clicked on a YouTube video and you're like, this is not good for my mental health right now?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm talking about. It's the small, tiniest of things. Sometimes it's the people you talk to. Sometimes I will say, like now, I like just taking a step away from everybody and realizing that if it's not on fire, if it's not on fire, it doesn't need your attention at that particular time. So I've actually really, really learned how to say, I don't need to attend to that right now, because I used to be that person who was frantic and I'm like, oh my God, I need to respond to this somebody. And then there's a client and I need your work done, and it drains you. It drains you so much.
Learning the difference between what is urgent.
Yes.
And what is important, and what we do is we put important as urgent when really it's important.
Yes.
It's not that it's not.
Yes.
It's just that it's not urgent.
It's not urgent.
It's not required.
Exactly.
Right now.
Exactly. Yeah. And then the power of knowing that no is a complete
sentence.
Yes.
I don't have to explain. I'm like, no. Thanks.
Yeah, without explaining, or you can just tell them it's not part of my journey today.
Yeah, I like that. Mm-hmm.
I love the fact that you have managed to find balance with your platform. Mm-hmm. Like you said, social media is a very, very powerful tool. It can be used to build or it can be used to break down. Yeah. But now with your platform, with your following, you have so many women that pour their heart out.
Yeah.
They have conversations. How have you managed to create this space that feels safe for women to come to? Why do you think so many women want to engage and speak? Speak on that a bit.
Yeah. You attract what you project. I think you attract what you project. And I have been in my own space every day, even in my own home. Even my nanny, she knows she can come to me and talk to me. My kids know they can come to me. So I've been, it's a projection of who I am. And I think I have this projection whereby I think people feel like they have this sister. And like I said, it's no longer a big sister. It's all sisters, older, younger, and they feel the need to share. In fact, I meet so many women and they say, hey, Maureen, you know, your journey is exactly like mine. I'm older than you, but you inspire me. And I'm like, wow, this is amazing. But the truth is, I do not even know how it happens. Like if I can't even delve deeper into it, because I have no explanation. I just think that I attract these people towards me because I am living the truth of my own journey.
The guest that we had, the show before yours, Tim, said that we asked him to give like a parting shot and what advice he'd give women. And he said that you have to get to the point that you're self-aware and you're aware of yourself.
Yes.
And answer to your question, I think the reason why you attract these people is because you're authentic and you're self-aware. You're yourself.
Yes.
When you're yourself, you'll not even know. And in the event that we had, in my poem, I said that you will never really know how you impact people.
Yep.
You can never know. When people say, I know I want to leave a great legacy, you're not going to know what your legacy looks like. You're not
going to
know.
Because it'll be long gone.
Exactly. Yeah. No, not even that. Like, the legacy that I will see you as is not the way Mo will see you as. It's not the way Angela will see you as.
Yes.
You will have in your mind. So let's pick a simple one. I'll say, I want to build a school. That's going to be my legacy. That's my version, but it's not. I can't control how other people will receive it or what they'll see in me as has created the most impact, in a sense. And floating that question back to you, what is one of the things, or maybe three things, that you feel you want to make sure that you continue impacting?
Many years ago, not so many, around the same time I was starting my platform, I kept asking myself, why am I doing this? And it came to a point where I had this very cliche but important aspect where, or notion, where I would say, if I can impact even one person, if someone can come back to me and say, I did ABCD because of you, or I am who I am today because of you, that's enough to make me leave this world and feel like I've made an impact. You know, like Mother Teresa says, you don't have to impact the whole world, but you can impact one person's world. And that was it for the longest time. I have lost count of how many people have come back to me and told me the same exact thing. Like I said, I think almost every day, any one time I'm outside of the house, I will hear, Maureen, because of you, I walked away from an abusive relationship. Maureen, because of you, I become a better mother. Maureen, because of you, I'm courageous to do 1, 2, 3 things. And I'm like, wow, I'll never get used to this. Ever. Am I there yet? No. In fact, it's more like I've exhausted that, what I was praying for. I don't know anymore what to expect. That's why I said I'm at crossroads. I'm like, okay, what next? Because I'm not the fiercest businesswoman, but in terms of my influential character, I have, and indeed I have impacted a lot of people, but that's why I want to create a center. I want to have a home now where people can walk in physically and say, hey, Maureen, I want to walk in here as a caterpillar and I want to live as a butterfly.
I love that. That's all that matters. So one day, we heard it here first, one day that there will be a Maureen Waititu Center. Thank you so much for being part of the Overreact podcast. You know, it's a place where we have tough conversations, change narratives, and you know, you've shared a story that perhaps is one that we never often hear, and we look forward to the journey that you take as a result.
Thank you so much.
All right, and you've been listening to the Overreact podcast. Tune in every Monday right here from 10:30 p.m. You can listen to us digitally via SoundCloud on Capital FM Kenya page, and also on Google Podcasts, Anchor, and Spotify via Sister Speaks Global.
And having your host Monica Mohoya, and I choose to overreact and become fierce.
I'm your girl Angela Wamboy, and I am still transforming from that caterpillar, hopefully to that butterfly.
And you've been listening to your girl Lush Angela. Take it one day at a time.
And ladies, that's a wrap.
Let's overreact.